Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Jonathan Valenzuela.
And my name...
Damn, it's good to be here.
A Borat.
And I am his wife.
What's going on, everybody? It's been a big week for indie games. We've got another big Annapurna joint on Game Pass, which John is going to be talking about in this episode, called The Artful Escape.
Yep.
I have been playing a game in which one or two Kiwis trying to run a post office. That game is called Kiwi. And plus, John and I will be updating games that we've talked about in the past. I've finally finished Dodgeball Academia, and Ooh. John needs to issue a righteous apology.
A retraction, an apology. I need to hang my head in shame about a game I talked about last week. So do we want to start
Obviously
with that?
Obviously, we open with that.
That sounds fun. All right, so last week I was discussing the game Lamentum, the kind of retro pixel eldritch horror indie game that came out on Neon Doctrine, developed by Obscure Tales, I believe the developer is. And during my review, I was like, I'm really enjoying this game. It's really fun, except I think I've run into a game-breaking bug. There is a bit of conversation, and I cannot get the conversation to advance no matter what I do. I'm given two options. I don't know what to do. So I ended up tweeting the game company and being like, hey guys, really enjoying this, but I think I found a bug. Sent a screenshot of the moment and was like, I can't get this this to keep going. Sent that, I think before the episode. Checked after the episode, someone had responded and been like, hi, that's not a bug. You just need to move the cursor down to get to the little button that allows you to advance the conversation. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, I've just recorded an episode where I've complained about a potential bug in the game when there isn't actually a bug in the game. I'm just kind of an idiot, apparently.
It's cool. I'm sure your very reasonable co-host would have edited it as soon as you told him.
So anyway, I have managed to keep going with the game, and it is quite entertaining if you're into that sort of indie horror sort of thing. The one thing I will say in my defense is that while, being told what I needed to do, I was like, okay, cool. I swore I'd tried what they said, like moving the joystick down to get to where I had to go. It is part of a bigger issue I have with the game that it's kind of like a lot of the UX stuff is really clunky. Like, the button I needed to get to advance the conversation is over on the right side of the screen. So I would assume I'd need to move the cursor right to get over there, but no, I needed to move it down. Add on to stuff like when you die in the game, instead of taking you to, like, do you want to load your last save, or taking you to the, like, saved game section to pick where you want to start from, it just kicks you back to the main menu again. So every time you die, it's like, oh God, okay, I've got to go back through, the load game section. And the load game section is annoying because it arranges your saves from earliest to latest. So I have to scroll through like 12 other save games to find the one that I'm up to. And then it has a fairly lengthy loading period of like 20 to 30 seconds. So just a bunch of frustrations like that. You know, you need to use ink to save your game at desks, but it's not just having the ink in your inventory that does it. You have to actually equip the ink for it to work. Just bits and pieces like that. That's like, have you done this to kind of continue the retro feel? Like, why not just get rid of this clunkiness, make it like you have modern elements to this game kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, as the staunch Metroidvania fan of the podcast, I think there are certain parts of like that sounds like something that I would expect in every Metroidvania that way as a saving mechanic. So I can understand the decision to put that in there. Not that Lamentum is one, but... that wouldn't annoy me too much. But
wait, which part? Like having to equip something to save?
Oh, okay. See what you mean. I thought you meant like having to have ink on you to save.
That's totally fine. I'm happy. Like I get that. That's survival horror for you. You know, it makes it like you need to really think about if you're saving the game at the right moment. For me, it's just, oh, I've got to open my inventory. I've got to navigate over to ink. I've got to equip the ink to do it. Like, if it's in my inventory, just let me save when I hit the desk kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like bits and pieces like that, that I'm just like, this is kind of like, I'm deep enough in the game now that I want to finish it and I will finish it. But it's just, it's stuff like that that has left me of like, this is a good game, but it's not a great game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I get it.
Yeah. So yes, full apology for talking about bugs last week. It wasn't a bug. It was just a combination of my idiocy and kind of slightly shoddy game design, in my personal opinion. Now let's move on to much happier pastures. Levens, you've graduated, buddy. Congratulations!
Yeah. So you may have remembered from the last, I don't know, five episodes of All the Small Games, we've been very slowly making our way through Dodgeball Academia. A game that was made by a developer called Pocket Trap from Brazil and published by Humble Bundle. We've been playing it on Game Pass. How do you look at how long you've played a game on Xbox? Is there a way?
I'm not sure. I could commence Googling that for you right
Google,
now.
Google, how
want.
Long did it take Levens to beat Dodgeball Academia? So you basically, yeah, it's an RPG where you are a kid named Otto who goes to a school called Dodgeball Academia because your lifelong dream is to be a dodgeball player. And the whole point of the game is that you are basically like, you know, going through school, becoming a legendary dodgeball player. It takes place over 8 days. Each day takes between 45 minutes to 2 hours to get through. So it was a much heftier game than I was expecting. And I'm pretty sure like we would have come around the 15 hour mark in terms of finishing it, but we finished it to near 100% completion. There's a few challenges that I never did. And there's right. and there's like one achievement that you need to go back and replay some of the game again to go back and do. I might do. I don't know. It seems once you get there, it seems pretty simple because there are massive accessibility things that you can do. So if there mm-hmm. if a particular challenge is too challenging, you can just make there no challenge at all and still get the achievement. Apparently.
Oh wow! Okay.
But we played
that's cool.
We played the full game. Both my kids were very, very invested in the goings on at Dodgeball Academia. The beloved characters of Otto, Mina, Balloony, Shoy the cat, all the colorful characters that attend said academia. Is that like what did you say? University, college?
I guess.
Yeah.
Institution.
You learn midway through the game. Your dad starts trying to contact you, and he's like, "What the hell are you doing? You know, we're a proud family of referees. You were meant to be at Refereeington High or whatever it was called." And so you have to, like, that's added incentive. You have to succeed at Dodgeball Academia to show your dad that this is the right career path for you. That story was really good. I think overall, like, maybe a little too wordy. Some interactions took a little bit longer than I would have liked. But I think the overall story is really fun. And the best thing about the game is the actual matches of dodgeball, of which you have to play hundreds throughout the game, because we, like, a bunch of random battles would appear on screen at the start of each day, and we would do every single one of them. There was an underground tournament that we completed. And the story itself, like as you open up more of the map, you have to revisit the entire map. And the last day had you pretty much visiting every single location you'd visited and fighting some epic battles, dodgeball battles, on all the different locations. I really loved this game. Pocket Trap, they previously made a game that I talked about very briefly many years ago called Ninjin Clash of the Carrots, which was like a ninja a bunny rabbit game.
Okay.
And it was like a fun, you know, distraction of an arcade kind of game. Very colorful and very fluid animation. But this is just such a massive step up in terms of gameplay, like even if it was just a dodgeball game without the RPG element. But the RPG element obviously is an enormous part of this game, like far more than 50%. Like the reason you would play this game is because you want a really classic feeling RPG. It's a great way to introduce kids to the genre. There's a lot of references to Japanese culture, even though this is a Brazilian studio. The characters are constantly talking about eating, you know, gyoza and reading manga. And, you know, you are establishing an RPG party, but they're in your dodgeball team. And, yeah, it was really, really fun. You're leveling up the character. We leveled up Otto, the main character, to level 50, which is the max, the level cap. Got an achievement. I think we have like 4 achievements that we don't have. And maybe if I feel up to it, I'll go and tick those boxes. But it was a pretty fun, leisurely time just getting to where we were, kind of playing like an hour a day. But a little bit frustrating because some of those later chapters, you can't, after you fall into the rhythm of like, oh yeah, every day is like a roughly an hour, you know, starting it at 6 o'clock and the kids got to go to bed at 7 o'clock and you're nowhere near the end of the day at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not a complaint that I'm sure most regular gamers would have. Only those of us that play regularly with our children.
Yes.
What
were you going to say?
This is a great one to play with your kids, especially like you can play it as you can be the main person playing it because some of the dodgeball matches are very difficult, or you can turn the accessibility options to easy, or like, you know, low damage taken from dodgeballs, that kind of thing. I'm sure I haven't fiddled around with it yet, but I know it's there. Once you've played the game, there is this great versus mode, which you, as you play through the entire story campaign, you unlock different characters that you can play as in two-player versus mode, which is really fun. And you can...
You were saying that Archie was really getting into it.
Yeah, it's really fun because... And also, like, you know, I can give myself 30 units of health and him 100 and make him way more powerful than me. So he's got more of a chance of just whooping my butt. And
you've also got a nice challenge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you, like, but if he, because he was, last time I remember you saying he was really getting into that versus mode, how did you, like, did he take convincing to be like, let's see this game through to the end kind of thing?
Was he
into it?
At the end of the day, Archie just wants to play video games. It's by far his, like, most loved thing at the moment, especially during lockdown. Like, this is his last week of school, which means we've done an entire term of school in lockdown, not leaving our 5-kilometer radius. And, like, I know a lot of people out there are in lockdown, and it's hard for everyone, but I have very little sympathy for anyone doing this without children. It's almost my dream to be in lockdown without children because I would just, all I would do is just play video games and read manga and watch movies all day. Just, like, tick enormous boxes of content every single day of my life and get my work done on the lawn for a couple hours each day and then go inside and just return to the content pit. but with kids, it's, you know, it's very difficult, especially having to administer their homeschooling. And it's so funny knowing that, like, yeah, like we've finished term three, term four starts 3 weeks from now. So now we have 2 weeks of school holidays. I don't know what the hell you do besides not, obviously we're not doing any of the learning component, but like, how do you make it feel like a school holiday? So I, you know, when you can't go away, you can't visit people, you can't have friends over. So I said, you know, Archie, what do you want to do in the school holidays? And he's like, just play video games.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I'm raising an incel, everybody.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, I'm stoked that you finished this game. I really got to give it a try myself at some point.
I think you'd really enjoy it, man. The writing is pretty witty and fun, and it playing on so many different tropes and the mini games and side quests. Like, as I mentioned, the guy you have to beat every single day.
Yeah.
Who sucks at first and then gradually gets like borderline impossible to beat. I got him on a fluke the final time I played him. I beat him. And then there's even at one point you go into the bathroom and there's a guy there and he's like, hey, do you want to play my my turn-based dodgeball game? And he just tells you that he's going to attack and then you have to counter. And it's like this great like turn-based, like you have to play three rounds of it in cubicles of a bathroom. So yeah, like, there's a lot of excellent charm to this game that you definitely, I've come to expect from a lot of these kind of like family-friendly Humble published games.
They're
a very great publisher. They're rising the ranks because every year there's like at least one of their games really connects with me, like from Wonder Song to Kato last year and now Dodgeball Academia. There's so many gems on their published list.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was great seeing them go from just a kind of charity organization to suddenly being a player in the indie scene.
Yeah, totally. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they rule.
Cool. So do you want to, speaking of playing games with your kids, do you want to roll us straight into Kiwi?
John, I would love to, but first, I think we'd both love to hear a few words from our sponsors.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Thank you so much, sponsors. And John, as you were speaking about...
What a great few words.
Before the break, of course, you asked me the words I've been waiting to hear all episode, and that is, tell you about Kiwi. And Kiwi is a game that came out a couple weeks ago. I'm playing it on Switch, but I believe it is on quite a few. It's on Switch, PS4, Xbox, and PC, and Mac. So it's on everything. And it is a game that was published by Sold Out Software and developed by Stoneweight and Sons. I think Sold Out Software are from the UK and Stoneweight and Sons are developers in the US. Kiwi is a game where you are trying to run a post office. Who are you, you ask? Why, you are two Kiwi birds.
Adorable little Kiwis.
And their names are Jeff and Deborah. And they're the newest hires at the Bungalow Basin Telepost office. And yeah, there is a overall theme of like Australasian animals, because the other animals that work with you are cassowaries. They are the equivalent of like postal trucks. They have satchels on their backs and you have to like put letters or telegrams on their backs and they deliver the letters for you. There are all kinds of bugs and things like that. But yeah, you control. It's a co-op game, but you can play it single player. So I first played a couple of levels on my own last week. It is very kind of like 3D graphics. You're kind of looking down at a kind of a 3D kind of like diorama space where there are two Kiwis and a bunch of shit around them. And the guy who runs the post office is kind of talking you through all the tasks that you need to do each day. And the first one you have to do is type out a letter. And there is a big keyboard, except the keyboard is not like your typical QWERTY. Basically, like, keys are scattered around the space that you're on in like weird formations. So one of you can, like, when you're playing one player, you can hit the R button to swap between Kiwis.
I was going to ask. Okay, cool. Yeah.
This is not a great way to play a game.
Right. Interesting.
If you hold down R, you can control both at once, which you have to do because some things they need to do in unison. And I played a couple levels, and like I saw the charm, the appeal, and even though I kind of swore like I need to try and play less games with the kids because I can never finish them in our allotted half hour to an hour of gaming every single day, I've just played this and I was like, I've got to play this with the kids, especially because it's about typing, which, you know, like Archie begins every day with doing a typing program on his computer, and you know, it is just, it's so cute. It's so easy to grasp. It's a very, very similar to Overcooked.
Okay.
In that, like, you are given this task. There's a timer. You have to, type three letters or send three telegrams. The telegrams come up where, like, yeah, but someone will send, like, an audio reel. One of the Kiwis is going to go grab the reel, put it in the player, hit play on the player. It tells you what the audio is. You have to write down the audio as a telegram, and there'll be words scattered around the floor and the benches around you, and you've got to go and collect the words, then run over to a sheet of paper, stamp them down, find the next word. So I'm like, Archie, over to the right, there's the word, you know, tool or kit or whatever, and he's got to go get it, bring it over, and then you both have to jump on print, I think it is, and then yeah, it prints the telegram. You've got to run, you've got to distract the cassowary with fruit so you can jump on his back, put a letter into his backpack, and then fasten the straps, and off the cassowary goes. It's playing it, believe it or not, playing it solo was more difficult than playing it with a 7-year-old. We were able to get much better scores, Archie and I, but I imagine two seasoned gamers could destroy this one.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really, really charming. There's a ton of content here as well. Like we've only done like a 5 or 6 of the first missions, but there's a bunch of bonus things that you can do, and of course there is that like kind of like arcade element where no matter how well you do, the incentive is always that you want to go and try and increase your score by doing it faster again. It can be stressful as you see the timer in the top corner, but you get heaps of time to do the tasks. It's just, you know, you're going to get a shit score if you let it go too long.
Of course. And so at the end, it doesn't give you a letter score, does it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It rates you. I don't know. It's like a letter. It's, you know, some equivalent.
I need an S rank.
I think it, you know, said I was a what's it called when you work for someone but don't get paid?
Volunteer?
No.
Intern?
Intern. Gave me an intern
right
ranking.
Okay. Yeah. Postal intern.
yeah, it's really fun. Like, it looks really great. It plays really well. Here's my weirdest gripe. There's a tutorial at the beginning of each level where your guide tells you all the things that you need to do. And he talks pretty slowly, and so I instinctively push A for it to speed the text up so I can just read the text at my own pace, but that just skips the text entirely.
Oh crap.
And I
okay.
always forget that, and just because your instincts like that, you know, years and years of gaming have made me accustomed to, if I push A it will hit the end of the text and I can read it quickly.
Every conversation is an opportunity to button mash, basically.
Exactly. And so like, yeah, I miss out on like pretty vital information and have to restart the level, which is irritating.
Yeah, that's very frustrating.
But yeah, besides that, like if you are looking for a game, I think it's like actually, so, you know, I'm pretty early on, but I remember being like early in, like even in the first like 3 or 4 stages of Overcooked, fucking screaming at my wife and her screaming back at me. It was so stressful, but that level of stress isn't in Kiwi so far. It's a lot calmer.
Because a lot of Overcooked is like, the environment throws obstacles at you as you play to kind of like increase the difficulty? Or is there anything like that in Kiwi?
Yeah, there are bugs that still that fuck with you a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
And I imagine like as you play more, like there are way more things that fuck with you, birds and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking up screenshots of it, and it looks like there's a level set in maybe the basement of the post office, which is flooded and has an octopus in it.
Yep.
So
yeah, there's I think there's like sandstorms as well, and I think even like piranha plant style things. So there's plenty of wild and wacky hazards, but you know I lamented that I keep accidentally starting really long games with the kids, and it taking us weeks to get through them, and wanting to have a shorter experience. And this, because it's split up into smaller levels, this is totally that. You know, we have 10 minutes before bed. Let's play a level of Kiwi.
Oh, great.
Yeah, definitely recommend this one if you have a kid around Archie's age who is, you know, extremely excited to play games with you, but you either have to play shit so he doesn't get upset because you keep whooping him, or you get too frustrated trying to do something co-op together. This is a great, great, great one where you can carry the team, you know what I mean?
Do you think there's enough, like, is there enough validity to it as an educational experience?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, dude. I mean, I think most games have that level for sure. But
I mean, this is maybe more overt in that it's like, oh, we need to find the word tool. Can you see the word tool on here kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, that and scanning, like, you know, finding all the information on the screen, that kind of thing, I would definitely say is a level of educational.
But my other question is, does Tilly enjoy the spectacle of it?
Yeah, no, definitely. And she thinks the Kiwis are cute.
Yeah. I mean, from screenshots I've seen, they look super cute.
I should have pointed out at the start, if you're looking desperately, like trying to find a game called Kiwi, that is not what this game is. It's spelled Keywe.
Yes.
Kiwi.
As in typewriter key and we need to press it.
Till was very upset that we were playing it for 5 minutes and she was like, where are the Kiwis? And I was like, oh, that's a Kiwi bird. And she goes, oh. She was very much expecting Kiwi fruit, which are in season at the moment. And we're eating a shitload of them.
Nice. Right. Well, big thumbs up for Kiwi.
Yeah, really, really fun one for families. And I just would not recommend it as a solo game.
Right, yeah. No, that makes sense. Because I was wondering, like, I guess if you hold down R and you control both, it reminds me of that game, Brothers, is it? What's it?
Yeah, Tale of Two Brothers, whatever it is, yeah.
Tale of Two, yes, whatever that is. That always felt a little bit patting your head and rubbing your stomach.
Yeah, there was a Zelda game for 3DS called Triforce Heroes, which you have to control three Links. And you can play it with two other people, even online. And apparently, you know, if you are doing it properly, it's a really fun experience. I've never, ever known anyone that has like also a copy of that game, let alone two people. So I brought it on a flight just before going on a flight to America and was like, hell yeah, new Zelda game. This is going to rule. And the single player mode, when you're not controlling one of the Links, he just turns into a scarecrow that just stays put somewhere.
Oh,
fuck, gosh. It was frustrating. It was just like just the worst way to play a game.
Oh, boy. Oh, well, good that Kiwi does it better.
Yes, definitely.
Well, prepare yourself for an intricate segue from a game developed in America about Australian stuff to a game developed in Australia about American stuff.
Love it. That's why you are the king.
I over the past couple of days, have been playing The Artful Escape.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fairly freshly released game. I think just over the last week it was released, maybe last Thursday or Friday. It is developed by a studio based in Melbourne called Beethoven and Dinosaur, which, great studio name, guys. Absolutely love it. Published by Annapurna Interactive. And, you know, we've discussed Annapurna recently with the release of 12 Minutes.
Yeah.
And I got to say, Artful Escape, all is forgiven, baby. Come home. Annapurna, you are goats for this one. So The Artful Escape is, I believe it's only available currently on PC and Xbox. It is available through Game Pass. So highly recommend, Levins, get the hell into this game.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to. I asked you today if I should play more of Kiwi or begin The Artful Escape with the kids. And you were just like, play more of Kiwi.
Well, on top of it taking a while, I think you were like, was there anything really adult or is there any swearing? I did say that there was something adult. A character in the game makes a reference to suicide, which I was kind of like, oh, maybe that's a bit much for the kids. Like, it's not sustained. The two characters are up the top of the tree and one of them goes like, you know, you could really kill yourself from this height.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, maybe that's a bit much for young players. And then just before starting this episode, I was like, oh, wait, there's another conversation you have where they just like, you go say hi to an old woman and she goes, Francis, you little shit.
Okay, that's shit. Like, we can live with shits. That's fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Anyway, The Artful Escape is a game about a young man called Francis Vendetti. Francis Vendetti lives in a small fictional town in Colorado called Calypso. The most famous thing about Calypso is that it was the home of Johnson Vendetti, who is Francis's uncle and widely considered one of the best folk musicians of all time. The game takes place sort of the day before or during a festival celebrating the 40th anniversary of Johnson Vendetti's seminal album. The culmination of which is you, Francis Vendetti, having to do a folk music performance, playing stuff that your uncle wrote all those years ago. The problem is, Francis doesn't really like folk music, it turns out. Every time he tries to play it, he just spaces out. And all he actually really wants to do is, like, straight-up badass space rock opera, like, wailing riff mastery. Like, you know, wheel, 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 like amazing kind of like huge guitar solos. So he's having this real crisis where he's like, I know what, like this, the expectations of this town are upon me. I don't want to fail them, but I'm tired of feeling like I'm living this lie. And so through the opening kind of 40 minutes to an hour of the game, you are sort of wandering around Calypso, having conversations with people. During which you have these epiphanies about, well, maybe I don't need to be myself. Maybe I can create a persona that I can inhabit instead of, you know, I don't need to be Francis Vendetti on stage. I can be anyone. I can create whatever character I want and inhabit them. Later at night, you know, there's a bright light outside. When you go out to check it out, there's an alien there. And the alien is like, hey, we are going on, like, there's this giant, like, pan-galactic music tour going on, and the headliner has asked you to be the support slot, essentially. And you're like, oh, shit. So you go meet up with this musician, and that begins your journey through the cosmos, where you know, you're playing these kind of support slot concerts, and at the same time kind of figuring out who it is exactly you want to be and grappling with the sort of pressure that is on you in your hometown to conform to their idea of you. So that's a kind of general overview of the game. Gameplay-wise, it is a very kind of like, if you've played A Night in the Woods, large sections of the game control like that. It's sort of like a platforming style adventure game where you run around, you talk to people, you know, it's very much kind of conversation based. When you're doing these actual gigs, it plays like a very simple sort of platformer. Like, you run from left to right across the screen. Occasionally, you have to jump. You've got a kind of weak double jump you can use to sort of get up, you know, ledges that are a bit higher. And if you jump and in midair you hit the X button, you kind of can play like an epic kind of wow on your guitar, and it like extends your jump a little bit. So gameplay-wise, it's not incredibly complex. It's like, if you're after a really robust platformer, it definitely in the first kind of the first level where I was doing this platforming, it took a little while for me to get used to the jumps. They feel a little bit floaty.
We're talking Little Nightmares like, floaty? Or Limbo, I mean, floaty?
Maybe not as bad. Maybe a little bit Limbo floaty, but the platforming, there's no puzzle element to it, and the platforming demands are so kind of fairly simple that you very quickly learn how to deal with the floatiness, and it's fine. Like, I didn't go into this game expecting to be playing Celeste or anything like that. Like, you know, if the platforming's not tight, it's fine. It's not really the point of the game. While you were, of course, one of the great things is, while you were running through, these environments you're in, you can press the X key at any time, and Francis will just pull out a guitar and start like wailing and noodling away. So I basically play every level with my finger just jammed on the X key, because as you play as well, stuff happens to the environment and in the background. And this game is eye-wateringly beautiful. The design on this game and the way the environments, the way they've brought them to life, is so stunning and so compelling. I will eat my fucking left leg if this game doesn't win awards for design.
Okay.
It is just, the spectacle of it is incredible. I cannot believe the achievement they've made with this. For that, like, that reason alone is worth playing this game, is just the, you know, these scenes where you're running through these environments, you've got Francis just, you know, hammering out notes, like beautiful, piercing, crystalline space prog rock guitar solos with an amazing kind of backing going on at the same time. You know, stopping your running and playing and having a giant alien insect in the background, like, light up and extend its limbs out and start kind of dancing with you and just being like, oh my God, what is going on? This is like, why do I have a daughter? Why am I not getting stoned anymore? God, I want to be high playing this game. It very much, like, I've never been to one of those like Led Zeppelin nights at a planetarium, but it kind of has that feel to it.
Sure.
There are certain parts when you're playing through these levels where you'll play like a mini gig for various, you know, characters or situations that you're in. And these gigs kind of take the form of a simple Simon-esque almost mini game where, you know, the X, Y, and B keys and the two bumpers are all kind of musical notes and shown on screen in a graphic format. And so whoever you're playing for will flash one of the notes and you have to copy them on your gamepad, essentially. It does in later parts get fairly complex, but there's no penalty for screwing up. It's not like, oh, this gig is over, you suck kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It just it starts the sequence again and you play it once more. So on top of this incredible visuals for it, the story itself is actually really heartfelt. Maybe it lays it on a bit much, sort of this guy, you know, this kid going through his journey of self-discovery and realizing, like, oh, I can be whoever I want to be. I don't need to conform to what my hometown thinks of me. But the writing is really, really good. It's very funny at times. It's very heartfelt at times. I mean, you are often given options for what you want to respond to, what various characters are asking you. One that stuck in my mind from playing last night that I just really tickled me was one of the other characters, who is this girl that is like the sort of, you know, technical lead on the spaceship you're traveling through the universe in. She tells you that your next gig is at like a jazz club. And she's like, do you know how to act at a jazz club? And the response that just grabbed me was, arrive late, leave early, steal glassware. And like, I read that out and just had a little chuckle to myself late at night and was like, yep, got to play that. Got to choose that one. It's during the early part of the game when you're in his hometown, the main character gets a slightly precocious, like kind of fourth wall breaking, narrating his town, talking to the camera kind of thing. But once you're out in the cosmos, it's just funny and touching and such a compelling story to follow. And one thing that I've definitely noticed, because, you know, I hate to refer to the very clunky 12 minutes, which we discussed a few episodes ago, but one of the big draws of 12 minutes was the voice cast of Daisy Ridley, James McAvoy, and Willem Dafoe, who we both agreed we used atrociously in that game. Just didn't really bring anything to it. The voice cast for this game includes Jason Schwartzman, Mark Strong, Lena Headey, and Carl Weathers, and they absolutely kill it in this game.
Is Weathers the narrator?
No.
Right.
Carl Weathers plays a character called Lightman. He's the rock and roll legend that you're playing support for.
Awesome.
He is by far one of the best things about the game. His performance is so funny. Like, they've got him saying this incredibly wacky stuff about, like, you know, like, you know, all this like cosmic mumbo jumbo about rock and roll. He just commits to it. He has a ball with it. It is amazing. Jason Schwartzman plays like the first mate on the ship, and he's like this alien. He is clearly having fun with it as well. He's playing this really kind of like Marvin the Paranoid Android kind of character. Mark Strong's performance is really cool, and, you know, just him being kind of classic jovial British Mark Strong. I think I'm about to get up to the bit with Lena Headey in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up to the last kind of series of concerts before I get to return home, so I'll be playing through that tonight. But even some of the like the lesser, you know, the people who are just known for being video game actors do fantastic jobs as well. It's
that's cool. That's so reassuring.
So well voice acted across the board. I mean, I just ran into I found my two favorite characters in the game last night, who are Frida and Calvaggio. If you play, or if you're playing it, you run into those guys. You'll see what I mean. They're just amazing. For all its simplicity of gameplay, I think the message that it's getting across and the way it's getting across is just so well done that this is a game that, like, it's hit my game of the year list. This is one of those confirmed, like, nothing's going to knock this out of it. It'll be somewhere in my 10.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Did you know who, obviously you know that it was made by a group called Beethoven and Dinosaur. Do you know who the head developer?
Johnny Galvatron.
Do you know what he's from?
No.
He was from a band that were pretty popular in Australia in the late 2000s called the Galvatrons.
Okay, that rings a bell.
They had a big song called When We Were Kids, and they were kind of like that hair metal kind of revival, like a glam rock revival. I guess one of the band members must maintain their Wikipedia page. Because right. There's so many hilarious, like, personal anecdotes about the band in here. okay. Like, apparently, while the Galvatrons were playing a festival tour in the UK alongside the Police in Hyde Park, they were evicted from the concert after allegedly singing Metallica songs loudly in the room next door to Sting.
Okay.
But yeah, no, pretty funny. If I don't know if you anyone is of age that you remember the Galvatrons, it's pretty cool to know that this guy's making indie games now. And it kind of follows with, you know, like the guy from KotKopi is Bennett Foddy, who made Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy and did some of the programming on
Ape Out
and other good games. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's cool. Shouts to Melbourne.
Yeah,
Melbourne definitely has a stronger. Maybe it's because of government funding, but like, yeah, indie dev scene. Not to slight our good friends over at
SMG.
SMG, my bad.
Yeah. The scene is definitely... This is one of those ones where I'm like, I really hope this gets Untitled Goose Game level of recognition around the world.
Another Melbourne game?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I think Gold Story is Melbourne as well, I think.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where I hope this is another one that puts Australian development on the international map.
Yep. What have we got in Sydney? We've got all the SMG games. I think Boomerang Foo. I think that's Sydney.
Yeah.
Number one on the eShop at the moment.
Ah, because it's got that really deep sale, yeah. Right?
Pick it up, man. A lot of listeners have been picking it up on, not my recommendation, my son's recommendation. If you want to be like Archie, go check out Boomerang Foo. I think it's still very cheap on the eShop. It's a great game to play with.
Please, share your Boomerang Foo fanfic with us. That should be the next Patreon tier is Archie, you get to read Archie's Boomerang Foo fanfic.
Well, it's not really fanfic. It's just him, like, drawing characters and saying what their abilities would be.
I mean, that's worth another tier.
You're right. Very true. Yeah, cool, man. I'm glad you enjoyed The Artful Escape because I know you were looking forward to it. And last time you looked forward to... Actually, no. We had Psychonauts 2 and 12 Minutes. Only one of them was... And you didn't even hate it as much as I did. So, you know, everything's coming up Valenzuela is what I'm trying to say.
Look, it's a great time to be me.
It's a great time to have Game Pass. That's a fucking sure.
Oh, once it's funny, we just did our Game of the Month episode about Inside, and I mentioned going back through that Facebook group Virtual Pals looking for mentions of Inside, and there's one about Inside coming to PlayStation, and in the comment thread you were like, phew, I almost bought an Xbox. and this is like 5 years ago, and I'm looking at it being like, sorry, Levins, from 5 years ago, you caved and you're loving it.
You're loving it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad this one came to Game Pass. Game Pass is saving me so much money this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, all of their hard work is finally paying off, and it really feels like there's a lot to play on the Xbox. Like, I just got...
Especially for indies.
Yeah, totally. I just got Deathloop today, I had to put the code into my PS5 and was like, oh yeah, that's right. This console that is like the most like, you know, the hardest one to get. It's the one I play the least, but apparently Deathloop is fucking unreal. And will be on Game Pass in a year anyway, right?
I believe so. Cause it's Bethesda published, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, Xbox own Bethesda now.
But hey man,
it was actually,
you're not going to have that beautiful HD rumble. Apparently every gun rumbles differently. That's fun.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, I it was very weird when Xbox bought Bethesda that the two next games Bethesda were publishing were both PlayStation exclusives, mm-hmm. and maintained exclusivity. It was like Deathloop and something else. Yeah,
Ghostwire Tokyo, I think it's called.
Yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo. That's right.
Looking forward to that one anyway.
Yeah, that was a weird moment of like, okay, fine. But yeah, so I look forward to finishing. I still got to finish Psychonauts 2. And I want to, I made it up to, because you mentioned like, oh, you go to another area in the game.
Yep.
I've finally made it to that area. And I got to say, Psychonauts 2 deals with some pretty heavy themes compared to the first one.
Yeah, I don't remember the first one's themes as much. There's a lot of bacon.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's, I remember some great levels, but... Like I'm doing a brain level at the moment of a guy who's an alcoholic.
Okay.
And it's very much like, oh, okay, this is a level of I was not expecting to get from this, you know, very cartoonish game about secret agents that go into mines.
Yeah.
And like the big plot, I've hit a big plot twist, and the big plot twist is like, fuck, that's a bit dark, guys. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to that one. I don't know if I'll keep playing that with the kids or trying to stay up late. I don't actually, who knows? I probably have to play it with the kids. So yeah, Psychonauts 2. I've got to go back and finish Calico.
Yeah, you've got. Yeah. Is it Calico or is it Chicory?
Chicory, my bad. Chicory.
Yeah,
Calico is a game about cats, I think. Yes. Yeah, Chicory. I need to go back and finish, and I'll chip away at Kiwi, but I'm not as obsessed with getting to the end story. Roll the credits on that one. Chicory has quite a nice story and deals with some heavy stuff as well. But my kids and I are currently completely obsessed with the new WarioWare
WarioWare
Get It Together, which has hit the Nintendo Switch. And man, I know we talk about small games, but maybe the smallest games of all, the micro games in the WarioWare collection. Because you have to, you know what those games are about, right? You have like 5 seconds to figure out what the game asks of you and do it. It's so much fun, a great formula. And I've been going just Wario crazy. But I'm going to go at length about my thoughts on that game on Hey Fam tomorrow and on Thumb Cramps later in the week too. And both those podcasts can be found at sanspantsradio.com, unless you already subscribe to both of them, in which case I'll see you there. If you want more of this podcast, though, all the small games, we just recorded a new Patreon episode all about the aforementioned Game of the Month, Inside, by Playdead Studios. We also do a lot of talk about our history with the game Limbo and then other games in which children die horribly. but yeah, it was fun revisiting one of John's top three games of all time.
Yes.
And at the end of that episode, we announced the next game of the month. The next games for everyone to choose from are two very, very popular Metroidvania indie games that I guess are closely associated with the Switch. And they are SteamWorld Dig 2 and Hollow Knight. We're finally putting the Hollow Knight out there because I feel like it's been a game that we just love talking about.
Another Melbourne game, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that they're Adelaide.
Oh, yeah. No, Tim. That's right. Tim Cherry's Adelaide. Yep. Adelaide, it's a suburb of Melbourne, isn't it?
So far
West Melbourne.
If you want to not only listen to our Inside episode, but also cast your vote for either SteamWorld Dig 2 or Hollow Knight, please head to patreon.com/allthesmallgames, and $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus content, plus access to our Discord community, which is full of lots of indie game loving freaks like yourself, dear listener. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. You can find John online at 16tacos on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at levdog, L-E-V-D-O-W-G. And our podcast can be found facebook.com/allthesmallgames or on Twitter at allthesmallgame. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Catch you next week, everybody. Stay what, Levins?
I'm thinking of something like related to a kiwi or stay artful, I guess.
Love it.
Yeah, great.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.